deal with some things first spiritually, to pray, and we have prayed. And the Bible says this is the confidence that we have in Him, that when we pray according to His will, He hears us. Not only that He hears us, but the Bible says He also grants us the petitions that we desired of Him. So, Lord, we thank You for granting us all the petitions that we desired of You right now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ha! I like that. Out of the mouths of sucklings and babes, the Bible says God has ordained strength. Amen. Remember, we are continuing with the Spirit of the Lord. God is building a spiritual house, and He's also the God of glory. Amen. And the God of glory speaks. We hear His voice. We are His sheep, and we obey Him. And everything He says to us, we do. And just coming from last month, the last month's question and answer centered around holiness. And then the Bible study throughout the month also centered around holiness. If you will remember, we started with holy life, that is living the will of God, when we looked at Acts chapter 21 from verse 1 to 14. The story there was about Paul. He was going to start going on some missionary trip. And the Bible said two different times there were warnings and prophesying telling him not to go. Remember, there was a man called Philip. God bless Uncle Philip. If you are watching online, God bless you. The Son of Righteousness will arise upon you where you are, with healing in His wings, and upon you and your family. A man who was called Philip had daughters, four virgins, the Bible said, was an evangelist, and they prophesied. They prophesied and did warn that some things were going to happen if Paul should go to where he was going. The Bible said, even then, there was a prophet also who came and also warned. In spite of all this, Paul still stood up and said he was not only ready to go to Jerusalem, he was ready not only to be bound there, but also to die. When we look at verse 13, to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. That is living the will of God. It was ready for the will of God to be done. If we recall that study, we asked ourselves, will you and I still go if we were in Paul's shoes? After being warned by people operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, that if you go, this will happen to you. If you go, you'll be bound. Will you still go? When you live a holy life, a consecrated life, you're ready to die for what you believe is God's cause. And we moved on then to living the whole counsel of God, a holy life. Even after all this, Paul, when we studied from verse 15 to 26, we saw Paul now speaking and talking and sharing and telling them, I've not held back anything from you. I have never failed to declare the whole counsel of God. And not only that he declared, he lived it. He shared a testimony of his life, how he walked blamelessly before everyone. So, living the whole counsel of God. And, you know, talking about the counsel of God, he, you know, we see the scriptures talking about the whole counsel, not half counsel, not the sweet things, and then we don't take the things that, you know, people at times get spiritual. You know, it doesn't agree with my spirit. You know, there are some things that don't agree with our spirit because it's not sweet. It's not the things we actually want to hear. So we say it doesn't agree with our spirit. But, you know, let's remember the Bible says that anyone who will live a righteous life will, must suffer persecution. Some of us might be going through some persecution because of our faith. Some people, for no reason, may just not like you. Some people, for no reason, just because of your faith, they just do things against you. And, you know, one other way we get persecuted is you find out that people who are not living a righteous life, people who are sinning, people who are misbehaving, people who are living riotous lives, it's as if they are getting away with things. They are getting all the good things of life and we are not. That's a form of persecution. And, you know, these kind of things could be very, very discouraging. Very discouraging. But let me encourage somebody here tonight, you're in the will of God. And the end, the Bible says, surely there's an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. The Bible says that he that endures till the end shall be saved. So there's an end. Just endure. Please tell somebody endure. Because there's an end. It's not the time to give up. Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Yes, people who are living riotous lives, people who are probably in some pub tonight or, you know, doing some evil things in the city center or all over the place tonight, and you are here in the Bible study, you are still having some of your needs unmet, don't worry. There is an end. And surely your expectation shall not be cut off. Just hold on to your expectation. Be encouraged. We moved on to holy compromise, which was the one we ended with. When we're looking at Acts 21, verse 15 to 26, we saw where the elders counseled Paul to shave his hair. We saw him obey the elders. We saw him follow that. And we saw Paul himself explain later in the writings why he did that. He said, look, to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Greek, I became a Greek. I became all things to all men so that I might win some. He did all this for the sake of the gospel. So when we're looking at things that we compromise, let's make sure that it's a holy compromise. For example, which is the first question I want to throw to us tonight, can anyone think about something that you can, maybe goes against your own personal principle, but for the sake of people, because you want to win them or you don't want to, put a stumbling block, it's something that you can waive. That you can waive for the sake of the gospel. You know, is there something you can compromise? And when you do it, for example, when Paul was saying that eating meat, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. But if eating meat will cause your brother, who is weak in faith, to stumble, then don't eat the meat. It's not as if you're sinning, but you're just making a compromise. So can we think of any examples like that? Do we have microphones? Yeah? Maybe if somebody wants to contribute, can you think of something you can compromise? And it's not necessarily that you are sinning, but you can compromise for the sake of the gospel. Anyone can think of anything? It's question and answer. It's usually question the answer here, but tonight is answer here, question from here, and vice versa. Yes, sir.
I have a few examples, but the one that readily comes to mind is when I started working in this whole company goes to a pub.
Mm.
And you know, after work, I just get into my car, off I go. Then one day, one of the directors called me and said, I should, you know, wanted to know why.
You don't go to the pub with them on a Friday night
and I said
for a night out with the colleagues. Sorry.
I said, I don't, you know, I don't drink, so, you know, I've got to, and I'm driving probably 40 minutes back to Liverpool, so I you know, I'm down the road. And he said, you know, that the perception is that I'm antisocial and, you know, I don't, you know, mix, but that he understands and he respects that, but once in a while I should just come in there, even if I'm drinking my Coke or Sprite, or just be around them. And I thought about it and it really made sense. I was thinking, okay, at the end of the day, if I really want to connect with these people, even with the gospel that I want to preach to them, first of all, they need to see me as not being, have that bias that I'm not antisocial. And I made that compromise and I'll go and stay, you know, for a few minutes and have my soft drink and just interact with them. And it, you know, weighing it, because sometimes, you know, when you talk about the compromise, you qualified it by saying holy compromise.
That's right.
And I checked and it wasn't going against the word. But it was also a learning experience for me. So that's
okay.
My example.
So in the course of you following your colleagues to, you know, the pub, which probably naturally you wouldn't go, were you tempted? Were you say, come on, Kalu, just a pint, just no, one for the road?
No, I wasn't tempted because I used to, before I gave my life to Christ, I used to drink.
Okay.
But when I gave my life to Christ, they, you know, I lost all appetite for it. So I think I've grown to a point where, you know, I wasn't, I've been there, done that. I wasn't moved by whatever, you know, whether they were smoking or drinking, it wasn't anything better.
Okay.
But I was, you know, one of them made a comment. He said, you know, I'm happier, you know, than them that are drinking alcohol, that they needed to come out. And
they saw that.
Yeah, but they said, you know, that I catch my phone with or without, you know, without even the alcohol. So it didn't, it wasn't a temptation.
Okay. You said something there that's very key. That, you know, maybe it was something you used to do, you've come out of it. In cases like that, what if you found out that, I'm throwing the question out to Samuel, or anyone who would like to contribute. What if in cases like that he went and then he found out that this desire for alcohol is coming back because I went? What do we think about that? What should he do? Should he still say, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, I bind that spirit of trying to come back on me and then keep going? What do you think?
I mean, I would personally just go, just to avoid.
You will go
just
where?
Just get away from the temptation.
So that means you stop following your colleagues when they invite you again because you find out that when you go, you feel tempted.
For you to be social doesn't exactly mean you have to go to the pub.
Yeah, but they are saying that you're antisocial because you don't follow.
Well, you can decide that you can meet somewhere else rather than the pub.
But that's where they want you to come.
Oh, God.
This is the lamentations of Samuel. Said, oh, God. Yeah, what do you think? He went. Yeah, let's compromise here. It doesn't mean anything. And then after the first, second, you know, he now starts feeling tempted.
Then that you have to keep strong. Like you have
keep
to
strong.
Have the word of God behind you. And if you're being tempted,
yeah,
the Holy Spirit should be there for you to kind of.
The Holy Spirit is always there, brother.
As a Christian, like,
yeah,
okay, don't let me use the word as a Christian, but
I just want that. I don't want us to get too spiritual.
The fact that
what will you do? Not you again, sir. No, no, no. They are trying to help you now. You know, let's. I will come back to you. Don't worry. I just let's get contributions. Yeah, give her the microphone. He's gone. Are you getting me? He went because let me reach out to these people. And then he's gone once, he's gone. Then he starts feeling like, hey, this booze spirit is coming back. Yeah.
I won't go anymore.
You won't go anymore?
Yeah.
Even if they call you names?
Yeah, I won't go because I know, like, I don't want to use the word of God, but it says, flee from me every appearance of evil. And if I know that's my weakness and that's what I struggle with personally, I won't do anymore. Like, even them, like, some of them say, oh, they want to stop smoking at my workplace. Some people don't go for smoke breaks because they know that if they go, they'll be tempted to have a ciggy. So they don't go.
And they're not even Christian.
And they're not even Christian. So me, I'll decide
to
go.
So you won't go. Okay. Yeah. To go or not to go? Yes, more contributions. Yes.
I think what I will do is I'll go back to my boss or to the person who, I mean, they must have been saying it amongst themselves. And he was good enough to come and tell me that this is the perception
they're having.
That they have.
Yeah.
And I will explain to him without giving too many details that I'm having a struggle. And then I'll go to God. There is always another way with God, that God should show me another way to be social with them, to be friendly with them. It cannot be that throughout the 365 days of the year that there's no other social gathering other than the pub. And I'll make sure that I'm very effective in being social in that place.
Okay. Thank you very much. Practical. Yeah. To go or not to go? Okay. Who will keep going? And why? Yes. You look like, your face looks like you'll go. You're next. Yeah. Yes, let's have it. Come on, let's have the contributions. Yeah.
I wouldn't go, kind of like what Pastor has just said. I think personally, I would be honest as well. I would say to them, this is my area of struggle. And I think as colleagues, they're seeing as we all work together, they should be there to kind of, we should be there to support each other. I don't think they would want me to follow them knowing that this is my own area of weakness. I think obviously we can do something else. We can go out and eat. We can go and watch a movie or something.
Yeah,
so just
we can
do something else that
we can go
social.
Go karting.
Yeah, or laser tag without, you know.
Okay. All right. Who will go? Where's everybody now? Backtracking. God is in your thoughts. Remember. Should we vote? You will go. Okay. Yeah. Let's hear it from Comfort. What will be your own act? You know, what will you do?
I won't go.
You won't go?
Yeah, I'll just tell them that I can't make it.
You can't make it?
Yeah.
You just say, I can't make it?
Yeah, I can't make it.
You just look for excuses?
Well...
They've accused you of being out to social, and then you try to socialize, and then you find out that, hey...
Can I share my... Like, can I tell them that, oh, for...
Can you tell them? Are you asking...
Like, if I tell them that, oh, it's an issue, but I'm also a Christian, so I don't want to be around that kind
I'm sure they know you're a Christian already. Do they know? Okay. They know he's a Christian, and they still came to him that, come on, we're seeing you as, you know, maybe even holier than thou.
I'll just bring cakes to the work office.
You bring cakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll try and socialize in a different way.
Okay. It's been a while you brought cakes to the church. You used to bring cakes. I remember earlier when we first moved here, you were bringing cakes. What happened to the cake ministry? It's now for sale. So that was taster. You tempted us with the cake. Okay. Well, sorry, some of us are not yielding to that temptation. Okay, bring it. Bring it. Please order for cakes. What are your cakes called? And those who are watching their height, comforting cakes. Right. Anyone, any more contribution? Anyone wants to add? Before we get back to who? Jojo. All right. Let's hear it from Jojo. What will you do?
What would you do? Take a step back.
Take a step back.
So stop going for a while.
Okay.
And then try to, for me, that would be an indication that there's still an issue that I thought had
you had overcome.
That is still there. So it will really, two things, I'll take a step back and it will really be a time for me to, you know, go back to God and ask
God
to really help me.
Okay.
And try to sort that out first, because, you know, when the Bible says we're in the world, we're not of the world, if that's my environment, then I should be able to stand even in the face of it. And just linking to that example, I remember because my colleagues as well, every once in a month, go out to the pub for food. At first, I wasn't going at all. And then the same thing, so like, oh, why don't you come out? And I'm like, I don't drink. Like, yeah, you can just come out. So I started going once in a while, not always. I started going. And then for me, it was a case of once everyone got drunk, the conversations, the talk just became so vulgar. Just the atmosphere would just change, really. So I after a while, I was like, God, why did I even go? I ended up feeling worse. I mean, just the conversation, because they were drunk anyway, so the conversations were just very dirty talk, just the normal talk that happens when people are drunk. So I think what I started doing was, the scripture that was ringing my mind was, guard your heart with all diligence, and then do not appearances of evil and all of that.
Flee from all appearances of evil.
So what I started doing was, they to stay noticing, and then they made it more like, oh, let's go for a meal first before drinks and all of that. So usually I go for like the part one.
You go for the meal.
Yes, when everybody's stealing their
and then you excuse yourself
after a while, then
from
I'll
the drink. Okay, practical, yeah, good. From experience. Okay, did you want to add anything before we move on to? Okay, they've tidied everything up. Okay, you know, hey, you want to say something? Let's hear it from him. So Apostle Andrew. Hey, come on, mommy. Leave Apostle. Leave the Apostle alone. Come on, mom. Hey. We have to learn from the Apostle. Yes, sir. Yeah, go on.
I would go.
You will go? Okay, tell us why.
The reason I would go is because even though they were doing the pub and drinking, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do
even
it?
Even when they got drunk, because I wouldn't be tempted by what they were doing. I would just, like, if I could, I would teach them that they shouldn't go to the pub and do.
Okay, you know, what we're saying now is that you went first time, second time, and then you found out that now you have been tempted. Will you still go back? That's the question. You won't go back. Okay, you've changed your mind now. It's better you understand the question and more. Okay, please let's celebrate Andrew. Okay. Yeah. I think it's better to guard our hearts. You know, we love people, we want to win them, but if it's going to cost us our own salvation, I think I'm learning to love my neighbor as myself. So I love myself. You know, I was telling my wife, oh, I went, you know, caught up with some of my classmates I'd not seen in over 30-something years. And we had a kind of a night of honors, award, you know, when I traveled, you know, to Nigeria. And, you know, they just started playing music, old music. And, you know, when we were all classmates in secondary school, they knew me. You know, I was, you know, not happening, but but I, you know, I used to dance, so I was the entertainer. One of them had to lament that, oh no, he doesn't like this pastor he's seen in me now. That what he's remembering is when we were younger, and I used to dance to all of them. You know, they had nicknames they used to call me because I used to dance. You know, I was kind of, if not the best dancer then. You know, so the music was going on. Memories were coming back to me. Where I sat, my wife wasn't there. I was there. I was thinking, I said, Lord, if I don't go now, I was telling conversation, I would go out there and start breakdancing. So I just quietly, I noticed that all the guys, you know, who were pastors like me, they had disappeared. I was the only one left. So I just quietly, and you know, when I got back to my hotel room, I was panting. I said, God, thank you for this deliverance. You know, there's no point. Temptation is real. You know, it's better to flee. Flee from all appearance of evil, like we said. Okay, all right. Having said that, you know, looking at holy compromise, he's given an example. Yeah, is there anything else we can think of that we could compromise and we're not sinning?
Sorry, just a quick question to you, sir.
Okay, to me?
Yes.
Okay, and I'll throw
so in that
back.
In that gathering that you were
in? That garden that I was in?
Yeah, if the music had been Christian music,
yeah,
would you have danced?
Would I have danced if it was Christian music? I don't know. Maybe if they had played Christian music, I would have known what to. I'd probably go there and be leading praise and worship. Let me tell you what even happened. Before the meeting started, they called me to come and pray opening prayer. You know, they actually acknowledged that I was a pastor. We were all, I mean, these are guys, we knew each other when we were teenagers. I'd not seen them for years. So everybody had changed, so to speak. So will I have danced? That's an hypothetical question. Let them play the music first. Then I'll know what I'll do. But I took the opening prayer, and even despite the opening prayer, I don't know if I bound demons or whatever, but I was tempted. You know, temptation came. So maybe somebody might be asking, is dancing itself wrong? You know? Well, I remember somebody was saying when he was accused, the guy was a Christian. He's a Christian. And he said, yeah, you saw me dancing. He said, who was I dancing with? He said, oh, of course you were dancing with your wife. He said, did I dance with anybody else's wife? He said, so please leave me alone. You know, he left it there. But that's he has the anointing to dance in that kind of situation. I didn't have. Besides, my wife wasn't there. And, you know, yeah. So what? Are you throwing questions to me? In a situation like, I want a situation where we can compromise again.
The vice president of Nigeria is a pastor.
Please leave.
No, what I'm saying. So, well,
I know you're a politician. I know you're a politician.
In that kind of situation, maybe they have like a ball, an inauguration ball.
Yeah.
What happens then?
It's an inauguration ball. Right? Like, I've just given an example. It was like an honors night. I had to be there. Right, but it got to a point where, you know, I realized I was going to yield to some temptation here, so I left. Okay, so let's talk about ourselves. You get me? What would we do? You have to know yourself. You have to know your boundaries. You have to know your limits. You have to know what can tempt you. What may tempt you may not tempt me. You know, there are some people they can hang around people smoking. They will not be tempted one inch to smoke. But there are some people, they hang around such people, they're going to be tempted. So everybody should know their temptation level. Yes, sir. I thought you held the microphone. Okay. Sir, want to say anything, sir? Okay. All right. Okay. Any other? Yes. Can anybody give an example of something else where it's a compromise and you're not necessarily sinning? Maybe you have a practical example, or you have a question, and we can throw it so that everybody could. Yes, sir.
I've got a question.
Okay.
So this was back in London where someone was preaching, and then they talked about, okay, if this person smokes, for example, and we want to try and encourage them to church, still buy them a cigarette just to get them to church. Is that right for you to actually buy them a cigarette to get them to church?
To get them to church.
Yeah.
Good question. Yeah. Anybody wants to attempt that? That's a good question. You want them to come to fall. Is it you want them to come to church? Not that you want them to get saved, because there are two things. To get saved. Because, you know, at times our motive might be, you know, get them to church so that we have numbers in the church. Our motive might be questionable. But to really get them saved, it's all right to buy them a cigarette because you want to get them saved so that they will follow you to church. Is that the question? You know, I will focus on checking the motive. Do you want to get them saved? And let's not forget that you can't really save anybody. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts. Okay? So we should be led by the Spirit of God. So what I will ask is, whoever preached that, is it the Holy Spirit that led the person to buy the person cigarette? Because that's a very good place to start from. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So anything we want to do, any action, let's make sure we are being led by the Spirit of God. Not that we are being led by our own human wisdom. Because your human wisdom, okay, you know what? If you want to catch a monkey, behave like a monkey or something like that. Have you had that saying before? You know? So you start, you can as well to, because you want to catch smokers, start smoking. See, the Holy Spirit leading you. Like somebody asked a question that we're talking about relationship. And the person asked that, you know, the Bible talks about Uzziah. That God told him to go and marry a prostitute. So that at times God may tell, can't God tell somebody to go and marry an unbeliever, a non-Christian? And, you know, and I asked the person a question back. And I learned that from Jesus. You know, you ask Jesus a question and he will ask you a question in return. It must be, Jesus must have come through. So ask the person. I said, okay, that was Uzziah in the Bible. After Uzziah, have you seen anybody else that God told to go and marry a prostitute? And I threw the question to the, can you marry a prostitute? Because at times we try to justify things just because we want to argue or win an argument. The key is being led by the Spirit of God. If you can boldly say the Holy Spirit led me to buy that person a cigarette, remember you will give account of that on Judgment Day. So if you're bold and you know you're led by the Spirit of God, that's the key. Compromise. Yes. Yes. What have you compromised lately? Yep.
Not lately. I just remember.
Not lately.
An example. Okay. Someone gave. When I was uni years ago, a friend's sister was coming to see him on campus.
Yep.
And he was a Muslim, but had recently become a Christian.
Okay.
So his sister, who was still a Muslim, was coming to see him.
Him.
So, and he
asked. The guy has become a Christian.
Yes.
His own sister, who's a Muslim, is coming to visit.
Yes. Okay. So he asked if she could stay with me. And I said.
As if the Muslim sister could stay with you.
Yes. And I said yes.
Okay.
So, and it was during the Ramadan period, we were fasting and everything. So, and she came and she was like, she needs a space to pray. She needs water for the abolition. She needs, and for me, that was, even though I schooled in the north, that was my first encounter with someone that is
at
that close.
Close.
Okay. Yes. And for me, I was like, okay, should I be doing this? Should I be, you know, helping you do your worship? Should I be, you know, just the whole idea. I struggled. I was trying to understand it in my mind because it didn't make sense to me at the moment. So, but then I thought of it, I was just like, okay, let it be that she knows my stance, she knows what I believe. Let it be that I don't believe what she does, but being kind to her.
Okay.
So I gave her the water, I showed her a place she could pray, made food for her to break her fast. And after that, she then went out in the night, something, but then came back. But after that experience, you could see that, I can't explain it, but there was like, should I say, something was broken and there was this passage that I could get in touch with her.
Okay.
We could talk freely, we could have conversations, we could have chats. And for me, that experience was, it just showed me up front how that a Muslim is a person. It's just someone
soul.
That, yeah, is a soul, is a person that could have been my sister, that could have been someone that just grew up in another family that the parents were not believers. So for me, it really brought the reality of, you know, at times if you don't have that close range, you just think, oh, they're out there and we are here. So for me, it was a learning process, and
right.
then there was a new sense of compassion for Muslims to know that they are just people, normal people that God loves and cares for.
That's right. So okay. What do we think? Holy compromise. Yes, sir. Yeah. She provided the water for abolition. She provided the food for breakfast. Yeah.
As you were just talking, what the story that came back to me was the story, the same challenge that Naaman had.
Naaman.
In 2 Kings, after he had been healed, and he was saying to Elijah the prophet, Elisha was saying to Elisha that if he goes back and his king goes to worship Rimmon, and he has to put his hand, that God should forgive him. And, you know, Elisha said, go in peace. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us to judge without again knowing the word. But sometimes, you know, you're struggling, you know, in that situation, you're struggling.
Yeah.
To judge. Am I doing the right thing?
That's right.
You answered it by saying the Holy Spirit guided me. But the Holy Spirit guides us. There are examples, you know, that it comes from that relationship. You know, like when Jesus came to be baptized, and John said, you know, I shouldn't be baptized. He said,
suffice to be so for now.
To fulfill
all righteousness.
Yeah,
I think when we find ourselves in compromising situations like that, it's just good. Have a conversation with God. Pray, you know. The thought, everything you struggled and, you know. But afterwards, you were able to kind of now start having a conversation. And it ended up with you having a genuine burden and compassion to pray for, you know, someone who is not a believer. You could now see that this is a precious soul that Jesus died for. This could actually be my own biological sister and all that. You know, maybe some of us will probably say, no, not here. You can't. I'm not giving you any water. Which water? You know. The Holy Spirit should always help us. Let's be real with our struggles. That's just the bottom line. Be very real. If you find yourself in a compromising situation, pray, Lord, what should I do? Lord, hey. Lord, forgive me. You know, I don't know. You know, so you want to say something? Oh, okay. Holy compromise. It's just God that can really help us. Oh, wow, our time is gone. Is there any question online? No? Anybody wants to say anything before we close? I think this is a very good place to close, unless somebody just wants to say something. Oh, yes, sir. Microphone, please, can you give my brother the microphone?
Praise the Lord. I just want to say that compromise, I was just thinking that it's like it's part of this Christian race. In one way or the other, we just have to compromise, because just like Jesus Christ going into the house of the tax collector, it was a compromise.
Good one.
But I just felt that it's a risky one. Before you compromise, just make sure you have the limits. I mean, you know your limitation.
That's right.
Because if you go beyond your limitation, you'll just be on your own. So, in one way, at one junction or the other, on this Christian race, we will have to compromise, but we should make sure that we, just as you said, we ask the Lord.
That's right. Amen. Amen. That's the reality. Reality. We are daily, you know, bombarded with these things. Let's just always constantly talk to the Lord when we find ourselves in such situations. All right, let's just pray. Let's bow our heads tonight. I perceive that some of us are at that point of compromise. I perceive some of us might be faced with things we have to compromise with. Let's just ask God. The Bible says that known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the earth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will guide us to all truth. He will show us things to come. But if we even see nothing, Lord, guide me. If I ever find myself in a place where I have to make compromises, that Lord, I will not sin against you. I will not sin against you. I will not sin. The Bible says that, do you have faith? Have it before yourself and God. Happy is he that does not condemn himself in that thing which is allowed. But the Bible says anything without faith, whatsoever is not of faith, is sin. Lord, even in making compromises, Lord, may I not step out of faith. Let's talk to the Lord. As for some of us who might actually be in compromising situations right now, this is a good place to ask the Holy Spirit for help, for guidance. For guidance. Just help. Help, Lord. Help. Help. Some of us, it's clearly that you are being pressurized to tell a lie. Let's call it as it is. It is a lie. Why not tell God that this is a lie? Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I know you are the way. You make a way where there seems to be none. Just guide me, Lord, that I do not step out of faith, O God, to the glory of your name. Receive strength. Receive strength. The Bible says that there is no temptation that confronts us that is not common to man. But the Bible says that God, with the same temptation, will make a way of escape. Show me the way out of this compromise. Show me the way of escape, Lord. I receive the way. Lord, guide me. Some of us are at crossroads. You are in the valley of decision. You are faced with two. You don't know what to do. Lord, you know the end from the beginning. Show me which way. Show me which way. Show me which way. I don't want to continue to be halting between two opinions. Lord, I want to follow your way, your counsel. The Bible says there are many devices in the heart of man. Nevertheless, it is the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. Lord God Almighty, I receive your counsel. I receive your counsel. I ask. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives liberally and upbraids not. Let him ask, not wavering. Let him ask in faith, and the prayer of faith will save. It's a good place to ask. Lord, we just thank you. We've asked you. We know that you will show us what to do. What to do. What we ought to do. Like the sons of Issachar, we receive understanding of the times and the seasons we're in right now. And we know what we ought to do individually, as families, as couples, in our marriages, in our homes, in our careers, Lord, in our academics, in everything. And Lord, we thank you because your name will be glorified as we take the action we ought to take. Lord, without any fear of favor, I banish in the name of Jesus. I cast out that spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and a sound mind. Please declare that unto yourself right now. Yes, I do not have, God has not given me the spirit of fear. I have the spirit of love. I have the spirit of power. And I have a sound mind. I make my decisions. I confront every fear in the name of Jesus. I overcome. I am more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. God is with me. God is with me. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for building your church. Us, individuals, couples, families, our wives, our husbands, our children, our men, and our women, our young girls, young boys, Father, our toddlers, even the children, and even the ones yet to be conceived in the womb. Father, thank you for building us a spiritual house. We are your husbandry. We are your workmanship. We are your house. Thank you for inhabiting us and using us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.